Let's get into to what we're going to be talking about today. Again, in our sermon series of Meeting Jesus, which is what we're all about at Abbey Wood Community Church. Thank you for joining us if you haven't been here before. And really, in short, just like at the Slade, we're all about meeting Jesus and helping people to make Jesus, to know him and to make him better known. So that's what we're going to focus on today. That's who we're going to focus on today. In the scripture from John chapter 5. So let's get into the story and hopefully go a little bit deeper into what's happening in that text. And my prayer is that Jesus will just be lifted up today. So the feast of the Passover, the feast of the festival that they were talking about at the time, this was a time when Jews would get together and they would offer sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. See, this pointed back to a time period in their history called the Passover, which was a time where the Lord would pass over, so the death angel would pass over the homes that had the blood of a spotless lamb or sheep that was put on the door frames of their home. That would mean, no, they are mine, will pass over them. So this is what the Jews were getting together to celebrate. God used that Passover, as an act of mercy to them. So Jews are getting together to celebrate, but in doing so, they need to offer another sacrifice. And usually an animal or sheep that would serve as the sacrifice to atone for their sins and so that they could feel the mercy of God and to also remind them of how merciful God has been to them, which is why they were where they were in the first verses, where it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool called Bethesda, which has five roofs, colonnades. So Jews were there, and they were there to celebrate. And once they would get their sacrifice, which is where they would go to the sheep gate to get their sacrifice, they would go to the temple, and they would offer a sacrifice to the Lord for forgiveness of their sins. But the story is about this man who was outside of the pool for 38 years. So for 38 years, he watched those people walk by him. He watched those people go to the sheep gate to get their sacrifices so they can offer it to God, so that they can make their way to the temple. He watched them for 38 years. And he was near the sheep gate, but he couldn't buy any sheep. He was probably very poor. He wasn't there to make a sacrifice. He was near the pool of Bethesda, which in that day was known as the House of Mercy. He was there to try to receive mercy. So he didn't go to the temple. And in fact, we can assume that he was probably there because he was kicked out of society. It says, for at least 38 years, this man was paralyzed or lame, meaning he couldn't walk. And usually, when people would see someone like that in that day, they assumed that they were cursed by God. That person is cursed by God. That's why he's there. So they just continue to walk on by. And his hope, his only hope, or so he thought, was to be able to enter that pool during this festival. Because during this festival, there's tradition that went back. And that was true, that people believed at a certain time an angel would come into the waters, would stir up the waters, and whoever would get there first would be healed of their disease, of their sickness. So the lame would be able to walk, the paralyzed would be able to move again, the blind would be able to see. So he put his hope in this pool. He saw evidence of that. He probably saw people walk by him, were able to get into the pool, and then be healed, and then be able to go to offer a sacrifice to God and get to the temple. But that wasn't his story. No healing for him. So for 38 long years, he waited. He tried to make it to the pool, but he couldn't get there. He couldn't physically make it. So someone had to take him to the pool. So you can imagine what this man would have felt like. This pain that he was going through, this anxiety that he had, this uncertainty about the future, didn't know what was going on, or what to even do about it. And the people around him, there were so many people around him, they weren't concerned about him. They were concerned about getting to the temple. They walked past him and people like him year after year after year on their way to offer a sacrifice to God on their way to the temple. But something radically changed in this man's life. And what changed is that he met Jesus, or that Jesus met him. So Jesus, in the story, approaches this man, but he doesn't even immediately heal him, nor does he pick him up and take him to the pool so that the angel could heal him, so that the pool could heal him. He asked him a question. And he said, "Hey, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed?" All right, hold up. Time out for a second. So this man's been there for 38 years. The text says that Jesus knew he had been there for 38 years. And he asked him, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?" Isn't that kind of duh, you think? I mean, look at me. You know how long I've been here. You see all these people walking by. I can't move. Of course I want to be healed. So why would Jesus ask this question? Just seems misplaced, misguided. It just seems silly. I mean, you wouldn't go to the hospital and say, "Hey, would you like to be healed?" It seems like an obvious answer. But I think Jesus asked this question because he wanted to understand what the object of this man's hope was. See, his answer revealed what he actually placed his hope in. So, yes, he did want to be healed, but what was he doing to try to be healed? So he told Jesus, "I'd been here for 38 years. I've been trying to make it to the pool, but I can't get there quick enough because every time I try, someone gets there before me." He had no help, he had no support, he had no healing for 38 years. So then Jesus says he commanded the man to rise, pick up his bed, and walk. Walk? That was the very thing that he could not do for at least 38 years. He told him to walk. This is why he couldn't make it to the pool. This is why he couldn't make a sacrifice. This is why he couldn't go to the temple. This is why people constantly walked past him because they thought he was cursed by God. This is why he couldn't make it to the house of mercy. So that's a pretty strange command from Jesus. Jesus didn't pick up the man. He didn't take him to the pool. He commanded him to get up, pick up his bed, and walk. So the man probably paused for a while. But who is this guy asking me to do this? Can't he see that I actually physically can't move? But he probably thought about it and figured, I've been trying to get to this house of mercy for 38 years and that hasn't worked. I've been passed over for 38 years. I haven't been able to make it to the temple. So I'll at least give it a try. So it doesn't say this in detail, but go with me here. After thinking about it, this man tries to move and feels a strength that he did not ever feel before in his bones for at least 38 years. The legs that were limp were now able to lift him up from the ground. He could walk. He could finally walk. So what did he do first? I don't know. It doesn't say. Did he leap for joy? Did he sort of stumble and stagger in disbelief? We don't know. But it says that he followed Jesus' command. He got up, he picked up his mat, and he walked. But later on in the reading, we realize the man quickly ran to the Pharisees. These religious people, these religious teachers who thought their way to God was the only way to God, and their way to God was just trying to do a bunch of good things and keep all of these laws and really be very, very judgmental against everyone else who they thought didn't fit in. They saw him, they probably didn't even believe it, but they didn't praise God for the miracle. What did they do? What did they say? It says they were unhappy. It says, what are you doing? What are you doing picking up your mat and walking, you man who hasn't been able to walk for 38 years? Isn't that silly? This man is finally able to walk. Instead of seeing this as a miracle and a blessing from God, these Pharisees are worried about, oh, well, it's the Sabbath, and according to our law and our tradition, it says you should not pick up your mat on the Sabbath. This is a very holy and religious day. What are you doing picking up your mat and walking? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You see, the Sabbath, it's a holy day. We're supposed to honor God and worship him by resting. And the Jews turned this day, the Sabbath, this holy day, into an idol. So much so to where they said, you can't pick up your mat because your mat is picking up a burden. You can't do that. In fact, even today, in certain communities, especially in Miami, you go to a hospital or a hotel on the Sabbath, and they have what's called Sabbath elevators. So the lift goes to every single floor so you don't have to press the button, because that's burdensome. Isn't that ridiculous? These man-made rules that people try to do and create to confine themselves, to try to show themselves as holy, but also point out the flaws in everyone else. See, that person picked up his mat. God doesn't love him. It's silly. So these people, instead of helping this man and all these other people, they kept on with their man-made traditions just so that they can look up to be, that they can appear to be holy. Instead of lifting up this man's burdens, they felt that the man himself was a burden. So they just left him alone. But Jesus, knowing their heart, he healed this man without lifting a single finger. He just spoke. He said, rise, pick up your mat, and walk. So this man wanted to be well, but he went to the wrong places to find healing. He wanted mercy, but he was continually passed over by people. No one was there to help him. He wanted to get to the temple, but Jesus himself came to the man. So what was Jesus doing in this story? What was he trying to say, and what can we learn from this? How can we focus a little bit more on Jesus from all of this stuff today? What is this meeting with Jesus reveals about Jesus himself? Well, there's a lot, but there's just a few things that we're going to focus on. Number one, Jesus showing here that he is the true Passover. Jesus is the true Passover. So the Jews, in their tradition, with this story that God commanded the Jews to put door of the lamb on the blood post, that was true, but that was an image for what Christ would fulfill when he spilled his blood on the cross. And now all of us that put our trust in him, we are passed over. Death has no hold on us. Sin has no hold on us, because Jesus has become our true Passover. And only Jesus could do that. Jesus is also showing that Jesus is the true house of mercy. This pool where this man wanted to go but could not go to was this place known as the house of mercy. But Jesus healed this man without putting him in the pool. So what we can learn from this is that Jesus is our house of mercy. So we can go to Jesus and we can find mercy in him alone. We're also learning, number three, that Jesus is the lifter of our burdens. You see, these Pharisees, these Jews, they did not want to help him because in picking him up, they would be lifting a burden and therefore breaking their rules on the Sabbath. So how was this man healed? He was healed by Jesus, and Jesus literally lifts this man's burdens from him, this burden of not being able to move for 38 years, allowing him to get up and walk. Jesus is the lifter of our burdens. And number four, Jesus is our true Sabbath, our source of rest. Jesus didn't, the Pharisees didn't help him because they didn't want to break the Sabbath. And then they were mad at Jesus because he told the man to pick up a mat. If you read later on in the chapter, it leads to basically this argument between Jesus and the Pharisees for the rest of the chapter about the Sabbath. And about Jesus, who do you think you are telling this man to pick up his mat to walk? It's ridiculous. But no, in this, we can also see that Jesus is saying, no, I'm the Sabbath. I'm the true Sabbath. This man was able to find rest, but once he met me, he finally had a Sabbath, not because he was able to keep those Jewish traditions, but because he met Jesus. And in Jesus, he was able to find rest, probably for the first time in his life. So if all this is true about Jesus, which it is, then what should this mean for us today? Well, let's go back to that question that Jesus asked this man. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? Some of you might be thinking, yeah, this hay fever, man, it's been really doing me in. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? Well, healed from what? I feel okay, you might be saying. Well, let's look deeper into this because, like the people in the story, the people who are blind, lame, and paralyzed, we might not be like that physically, but maybe spiritually at times. Maybe we might be blinded by our sin. The Bible tells us that sin blinds us. Sin blinds us to the truth about God. So maybe we are trying to follow Jesus, but there's just this sin that just keeps getting in our way, that keeps blinding us to actually following Jesus. Maybe we aren't blind. Maybe we might be lame. And in being lame, it's kind of limp. You have a limp, wet leg. You could move, but you can only stagger through things. And maybe we're struggling, and maybe we're limping through life because we might be struggling to forgive someone. Maybe the burden of unforgiveness hasn't been released, so we're carrying that burden as we're trying to limp through life. And it's hard to move forward. It's hard to walk. Or maybe we might be spiritually paralyzed. Maybe we might be bound by fear. The Bible tells us that the fear of man is a snare. A snare is something that traps you. If you're trapped, you can't move. Maybe we're bound by fear. Maybe it's fear of someone. Maybe it's fear of something. Maybe it's fear of the future. Maybe it's fear of something we think might happen or may not happen or could possibly happen. Or maybe we're afraid of being afraid. I don't know. And in other cases, it might actually be physical. Maybe there is someone that we can immediately think about and we know that they are physically struggling. Maybe they do actually need some physical healing. Or maybe you do. Maybe there's a sickness or an illness or a physical burden that's been placed on you for weeks, months, years, and you keep seeking the Lord to take it away. Maybe you've been waiting for a long time too, like the man at the pool. What do all of these things have in common? If the people who are blind, the people who are lame, who are paralyzed, what does all that have in common? Well, when you're blind, lame, or paralyzed, spiritually or physically, it's difficult to walk. And therefore, it's difficult to follow Jesus as he wants us to. So ask again, because Jesus is asking all of us, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? And if our answer is yes, then his command for us is the same as it was for the man at the pool. It's to get up and walk. Which in other words means to get up and follow me. So what does this mean if we are actually spiritually blinded by our sin? If there is sin that just gets a hold of us, or maybe we haven't even confessed our sin and come to Jesus. He says, get up and walk. Because Jesus is our true Passover. Jesus is our true remedy for sin. Not those sacrifices that we could try to make. Not the stuff we can try to do for God. Jesus is our true Passover. And whatever sin you might be tempted by or struggling with, I'm not saying that it's easy, but I'm saying it's not worth it compared to the Lord Jesus. Maybe we might be struggling to forgive someone. And that can be very difficult. We've been wronged. We've been hurt. But Jesus says, get up and walk. And it says also in the Bible that he's forgiven us of so much. We can trust him. We can allow him to heal us and let go of those burdens in the past. We can go to him, Jesus, as our house of mercy and find mercy in him so that we can be merciful to other people. For those of us who might be struggling with fear, his command is the same. He says to get up and walk. He countlessly commands us to fear not. Why? Not just because we shouldn't be scared, or we shouldn't have fears, or we shouldn't be concerned about life. No, because he is with us. And if he's with us, he's showing that Jesus is the one who can lift our burdens. He's the lifter of our burdens, even if that burden is fear. And for those of us who do need physical healing, or who know someone who needs physical healing, who's desperately seeking after the Lord, he gently says, get up and walk. Keep seeking me. Keep seeking Jesus. Keep trusting in Jesus. Keep holding on to Jesus, because Jesus is our Sabbath, our true source of rest. So do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? And I pray that we will all hear Jesus saying to us, whatever that specifically means, get up and walk. And if he commands us to get up and walk, like the man in the story, that means it's possible. So as we close, I want us to listen to a song. And let's pay close attention to the words of this song. Because hopefully it should lift up Jesus to the right place that he's supposed to be in our lives and our hearts. The lyrics will be on the screen, so feel free to sit, listen, reflect, maybe use this as a prayer. It's part of the chorus of this song. It says, raise me up from this grave, touch my tongue, and then I'll sing. Heal my limbs, and joyfully I'll run to you.